our first question. Thank you for standing up courageously for the debate on the COVID issue. You have helped us understand the battle between the King of the North and the King of the South. You have said that there is a massive backlash coming in the future, that the King of the North, representing religious imperialism, will defeat the King of the South. Does this mean that the Christian right is going to win the battle in terms of the truth of COVID and the vaccines? Will this result in a new revival on planet Earth, since all will be exposed? Because you also state that we are living in the end times, and nowhere left to flee, as you mentioned in the current events and the coercive methods being used by the King of the South mentality to warn people the end is coming. Which is it? So, and how does the King of the South morph into the King of the North? So, my view, the King of the South does not morph into the King of the North. These are two antagonistic principles. The King of the South represents godless humanism, socialism, evolutionism, communism. These are represented in the Bible imagery by Egypt. Egypt represents the King of the South. It's in the prophecy, and that's who is God that I should know. So all the godless, basically, in those organizations, which would be in our political landscape today, basically leftism. Leftism is the King of the South. That's primarily driven by the godless evolutionary forces, the green movement that don't have a future, that are anti-Christian and so forth. King of the North is represented by Babylon and Rome in Bible, and Nebuchadnezzar believes in God, but then immediately passes laws to punish anybody else who doesn't believe in Daniel. God. And Rome, of course, the Roman imperial religious state that became, this is religious imperialism. These are people who claim an actual belief in God, but the way they approach their belief in God is through human law, human legislation, coercive force, and control. So this would be political right. This is the political right. Okay, and the beautiful land is in between, and the beautiful land represents God's people, and God's people's neither in the form in the position of the communism, the socialism, the leftism, the humanism, the evolutionism, and neither are they in the religious imperialism, the whether it's the papal dark ages or whether it's Protestant imperialism or any other form of imperialism that seeks to advance God's kingdom through legislation and control. My view, and again, I was not given a vision by God. It's my view as a Bible students studying the prophecy of Daniel 11 is that the final two movements of these kings is that the King of the South attacks the King of the North, which I believe we're seeing right now, and then the King of the North storms out against him and destroys him. I believe there is a backlash coming from imperialism, religious imperialism. I don't know exactly how those events will unfold. I have speculation, but understand it's speculation, and it could be completely different than this. But my speculation is that in the next couple of years, over the next couple of years, 2, 3, 4 year period, that my speculation is that there is going to be the rising up of strong conservative, politically conservative voices that will articulate principles that most of Christians will identify with. And there's a reason for that, because the Christian principles, and when I say principles, political principles, not biblical principles, political principles of strong borders, okay? Political principles of fiscal responsibility, political principles of accountability and law enforcement, and so forth. These are political principles, and many Christians will identify with those principles and support them. Those are not the biblical principles. Those are different.
We're seeing in Texas, that's one of those weeds you don't like to get into, but that's one of the things that most of Protestant Christianity significantly identifies with.
There will be many of these things happening, and it's going to happen because, I don't know if I should say this or not. If I think I might not should say it, maybe I shouldn't say it, right?
Tell me, I'll say it.
Well, okay, the leftism that's being practiced in the world today politically is a practice of fantasy, not reality. It's a fantasy. It is a constant distortion and denial of reality. I'll give you some examples. There is no such thing as male or female. Gender is a construct of your mind. That's fantasy. Gender is actually very real. There is real male and there is real female, and there are people who are intersexed hermaphrodites and so forth, but they're still male and female. And there may be people that have gender confusion. Okay, we'll give you that. That's for sure. They do. But they're still male and female. Anything else is fantasy. It's not reality. I'll give you another one. The United States withdrawal from Afghanistan was a tremendous success. That's been stated repeatedly, the last 2 weeks. That's fantasy. That's not reality. The problem in America today is institutional racism. That's fantasy. It's not reality. It's purposeful fantasy, constructed fantasy, to incite division and take the eye off the reality. The reality is we're in a cultural war, not a racial war. You will know, anybody who claims that we've got a problem with white supremacist groups controlling the levers of power in America and controlling government and holding people of color down, anybody who claims that is living in a fantasy land. I'm not saying there aren't white supremacist people out there, even small little niche groups off in some corner. They have no power. They don't control any institutions in this country. Who does control the institutions? Leftism. And so there is institutional racism, but it's not coming from white people. It's coming from the godless evolutionists who control left, the left. I wrote a blog about this recently where I actually expose that this type of exploitation comes from the godless mindset, not from those who hold Jesus Christ up as their example and recognize every human being as their brother and sister, and we treat all people equally because they're not male, female, Jew or Greek, black or white. We're all one in Christ. It doesn't come from Christianity. It comes from godlessness. It's a cultural war. But those who run that cultural war on the left don't want you to see the truth that this is a war on Christianity, and so they make it a racial war, but at the fantasy. And this is why, and the whole COVID thing. I can't tell you the fantasies that are taught about this thing. Lie after lie, delusion after delusion. I know doctors who are telling people that if you don't get the vaccine, you will not get medical treatment if you're sick. Not just for COVID, for anything. Do you understand the Hippocratic Oath? The Hippocratic Oath is we don't ever deny health care as physicians for anybody, for political reasons, for national reasons, for just the way they live their life. We don't do it. The Hippocratic Oath, we are there to help people. What has gone wrong in the minds of people? I can tell you that's not coming from the right. That mindset is coming from the left. It's a delusional mindset. So I think because of all these things, and I think you asked about the COVID specifically in the question, I think there's going to be a crushing amount of evidence that comes out about how society's been manipulated through falsehood after falsehood that is going to result in a really crushing backlash that's going to empower political conservatives that are going to really crush the power. I think you're going to see corporations that are very woke get broken up. If you remember the day AT&T and Ma Bell got broken up, I think some of these big corporations are going to get broken up. They're going to have their power taken. I think a lot of the media is going to have their, a lot of the, what we could say liberal media, is going to be broken up, have their licenses revoked and given to new organizations that are actually going to be, at least attempt to be more fair, but they certainly won't be propagandists for a political entity. I think you're going to see this happening. I am fearful, again, this is my speculation, I'm actually fearful that this is going to be bloody. I actually have concerns that this could be a horrible time where people are actually truly killed. I hope it doesn't come to that. But remember, Satan doesn't care whether you're on the liberal left or you're on the political right. What he cares about is your character. He wants you to identify his methods and advance some cause through his schemes that you're willing to coerce and force others for a righteous cause, whatever that cause is. He didn't care what the cause is, as long as you're willing to do his methods to get it. That's how he wants your character. He wants your heart. He wants your soul. And that's what I see forming up. What beliefs do you think the prophet Daniel held that kept his behavior faithful to God and resistant to people-pleasing? I think he had a firm personal relationship, and he spent multiple times a day, we're told three times a day, he would go and reconnect with God, and he would pray, and he would turn his heart out to God, and then he made choices in his life to apply to his life in real time what he knew God wanted him to do. But we never see Daniel advancing his religious agenda to try to legislate it. Nebuchadnezzar did that. You don't see Daniel advocating for that. Daniel lived his life in governance of himself, and he left everyone else free. You don't see Daniel doing what the pagan religious leaders did. They tried to set Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach up to be hurt by the state. You don't see Daniel playing the political war to try to get Nebuchadnezzar now to hurt them, or Darius. Darius did throw them in, but it wasn't because Daniel asked Darius to do it. It was because Darius recognized he'd been tricked by them. So I think Daniel practiced in his life the principles of God and maintained that personal connection. There's a quote here from 5 Testimony 147. It says, "Sin and sinners in the church must be promptly dealt with, and others may that others may not be contaminated. Truth and purity require that we make more thorough work to cleanse and clamp the camp from Achan's. Let those in responsible positions not suffer sin in a brother. Show him that he must either put away his sins or be separated from the church." How do we read this in light of present the truth in love and leave others free to decide themselves? I'm seeing a lot of Christians take this stance, and it's concerning. So this is actually, first off, talking about the church and not society.
Is that a quote?
It's a quote from Five Testimony, page 147. This is talking about the church, not society. It's also not talking about coercing people into action. It's talking about people who are engaging in known rebellious and destructive behaviors that you've tried to correct in love, but they continue to bring their rebelliousness into the organization, that the organization cannot function well if you don't discipline that person. And there was a process. This was a process first of bringing them under church censor or counseling, and eventually, if they continue their rebelliousness, that they have to be put out of the church. It's not being put out of society or taking away their livelihood. It's saying to the organization, if this person continues to disrupt the organization of God by sinful activity, that the church can't conduct that. So I don't see a problem with that, honestly. And so what would happen is we would present the truth and love to that person, and we would leave them free to decide where they want to fellowship. I mean, just imagine this application in your own home. In your own home, you have a child, an adult child, 22-year-old child, who decided to start smoking cigarettes. And they come to your house and they light up in your house. Now, what will you do? Won't you please put the cigarette out? But they refuse. Won't you at some point have to ask them to leave the house? Does that mean you don't love them and don't want the fellowship with them? But if they insist on smoking in your house, in order for you to have a healthy house, they have to be put out until they stop smoking. That's basically what's said there. In last week's study, you mentioned that one out of every three therapeutics that received FDA approval is later shown to have unexpected post-marketing side effects that were deleterious to make them. Yes, that was a JAMA study from 2011, I think, and it was looking at new therapeutics that came on the market from 2001 to 2010 is what I believe that was. But did you know in a recent video by one of the legacy news media outlets on YouTube, The Hill, reporter Kim Iverson exposes that nearly 50% of the FDA's funding comes from Big Pharma? I did not know that. This change made in the 80s to speed the process of approvals. the regulators receive gifts, kickbacks, and jobs at pharmaceutical companies after working for the FDA. Yes, I did know that. The former director of the FDA is now the vice president at Pfizer. So, Dr. Jennings, I often heard that the church, from the church, that there was a special blessing on the Sabbath. What is the special blessing? Similarly, the book of Revelation says, blessed are those who read and are we not blessed every day when we read the Bible? So, yes, we are blessed any day for reading the Bible because the Bible blesses us. So what's the special blessing of the Sabbath? The special blessing of the Sabbath is the truth that the Sabbath brings to us and the practices that we apply to our lives. And what is the truth? The Sabbath's origin reveals the truth of God's methods. He presents truth in love and leaves free. Remember the origins of the Sabbath. It came about in a context of a war over God's right to rule. And instead of using power to force all the beings in line, God instead revealed during creation week, he's creator. He created a planet to operate on the principles of love. And then after revealing all these things, instead of forcing compliance, he rested. I rest my case. Everyone decide for themselves. And thus the special blessing of the Sabbath, when it's rightly understood, is the truth of God's design laws and the creator who operates on those principles that we incorporate into our life. And I want you to ask yourself, all of you who've come to appreciate the design laws of God, is that a special blessing to you? Versus the years you observed the Sabbath under imposed law, rules to be kept. It is an incredible special blessing to have these truths transform the life. So I think that is ultimately the special blessing, the truth about the Sabbath itself, and as we practice and live out those principles. Many Christians believe that getting the mark of the beast in the forehead means you support the beast, but in the hand means you don't support the beast, but still gave in. In your view of the mark of the beast being the use of beastly methods, is there a difference between hand and forehead marks? And can you please discuss the thoughts on the mark of the beast in relation to COVID vaccination? I'm concerned that as here in Australia, our governments are behaving very beastly, and I'm worried about getting the vaccination. Okay, first, they have to understand in context also the seal of God. The seal of God happens in the forehead. And what is the seal of God? The forehead is symbolic of where we reason, think, love other people, and worship. And the seal of God is being so settled into the truth, both intellectually and spiritually. Intellectually, we comprehend the truth. Spiritually, we live the truth, have it written in our hearts. So our hearts all identify and have the truth as the motivating principles in our life. So we are settled into the truth, intellectually and spiritually, of God's kingdom, his methods, his character, that nothing will shake us from it. That's the seal of God. The mark of the beast in the forehead is exactly the same thing for the beastly system. Being settled into the beastly system, both intellectually and spiritually, that you cannot be moved. You are settled into the lies, and you love the methods, and you identify with the methods, and that's how you live. Mark in the hand, you are neither sealed of God, nor are you marked in the forehead or settled by the beast. Instead, you have a position where you recognize that you would never want to coerce another person. You wouldn't want to do that. You're not that type of a person, but you're concerned with self. You don't want to lose your business. You don't want to get arrested. You don't want to not have your passport that lets you go in and buy food. You don't want to be travel restricted. You don't want to. And so for convenience sake and life's expediency's sake, you go along with those same practices, even though you would never put them on anybody yourself. You're not a believer in them. Your works show that you support them. So the mark in the hand. You can see this in Nazi Germany. In Nazi Germany, there were people sealed of God. You can see a few, Bonhoeffer, Corrie ten Boom, who settled into the truth that they would not be moved, even under persecution and execution. Then there were those who were marked of the beast. They were so settled into the lie that they actually thought it was righteous and good. And you can see, of course, Hitler and Goebbels and Mengele and much of the Nazi leadership. But understand, probably the vast majority of the population of Germany were neither sealed of God nor marked in the forehead as beastly. They were marked in their hands. They went along because they didn't want to be identified as one of the troublemakers. They didn't want to be arrested. They didn't want to have their business shut down. They didn't want to also be sent off. They went along for expedience sake. You understand, Nazi Germany could not have done what they did without the cooperation of the population. Yes, just following order. The following of the orders marked in the hand. That's exactly right. And that's what's happening in the world today. There are people being sealed of God so they won't be shaken from his principles. There are these that are marking themselves in their forehead of the beast. They're real believers in the righteousness of coercing other people's consciences and using the power of the state to make it so. And then the vast majority of people are the ones who just love themselves and their convenient life so much they don't want to be troubled. They'll just go along following the orders, following the government, following the guidelines, following the recommendations. Don't question, don't ask, don't get in trouble. Just do what you're told.
It goes back to which God you worship. If your God forces, you will appreciate force.
I love that. That's exactly right. Okay. I don't think COVID vaccines themselves have anything to do with the mark of the beast. I think they're just a molecule, and they have certain benefits, and they have certain side effects, and they have certain protections, and they have certain risks. They're just a molecule. But the methods employed could be very beastly. If you're willing to hold somebody down and force them to take it against their will, which happens in certain parts of the world. So it's the methods that are much more concerning. Hi, Tim. A question from out of South Africa on God's fire of love and truth. I understand the burning of this to be on the conscience, leaving the sinner no self-justification, coming into conflict with their lying selfishness and hatred, leaving them gnashing in emotional agony, and that the cloven tongues of fire are fires of love and truth too. How can we? How can this be well explained from the Bible if asked to show it in the Word? I am able to logically get there in the same way John Milton, I suppose, would, but was wondering if you have a more plain explanation of biblical exposition on it. Perfect question, because my blog that went up 2 days ago on Thursday on our website is The Truth About Hell. So go to our website, comeandreason.com, and look at our blog for this week, and you will find a layout of the Bible text taking you right through, and you can copy that, you can download that, you can just copy the text over, and you'll have a really nice exegesis on this principle. So thank you for asking about that. Thank you for the past COVID in-deep discussions and the references and truth about all things concerning COVID. I did not give truth about all things concerning COVID. There's many, many things out there I don't know. Okay? It has been very helpful, giving many hope with these resources. My family and friends, as well as myself, who have been told from my employer I have to get the COVID jab. I'm thankful for the way you talk about current world events happening, reflecting prophetic biblical prophecy. Thank you, Come and Reason Ministries. Please keep sharing the truth. Okay, no question, but thank you for your support. Since safe and effective treatment protocols for COVID are not widely used and most of the hospitalized are reported to be unvaccinated, I have several patients at work at one of the local hospitals, and they tell me about how busy and overwhelmed in many ways they are, and I ask them how many of the people that are currently hospitalized have had early treatment protocols. How many have gotten the treatments that the data says, the studies say, would reduce hospitalization by 86%? And that information is unknown. Nobody's asking the question. They ask if you're vaccinated or not, but they don't ask if you got the early treatment protocols. Why not? One of our patients here who just got COVID and recovered, she said that when she went to her doctor, was diagnosed, the doctor in Chattanooga told her, no treatment, there is no treatment, go home and wait. If you get sick, come back. That's what the medical community, that's what the, it's a lie. It's completely corrupt. It's going to turn out, this is where I think we'll feed the backlash, because as we look back on this, there is going to be evidence to show that this knowledge has been known the entire time, was purposely covered up by lots of sources, and many lives could have been saved, but there was a corporate, purposeful actions taken to keep people from getting the treatments. And I think that's going to be fueling part of the outrage and the crushing backlash. But anyway, let me finish the question. They are claiming that the unvaccinated are overwhelming hospitals. I think that's, there may be true in some parts of the world, in the United States perhaps. I know that in Israel right now, is it 75% of all the hospitalized are vaccinated? I think Britain's the same way. So the data is not true in the parts of the world that have higher vaccinations than us, because the vaccinations actually don't stop reinfection and don't stop hospitalizations. They may reduce it. I think the data is on the Pfizer one right now. You have 42% protection on a Pfizer one for hospitalization. And I think the other two have a 66% reduction in hospitalization. But they don't stop it. you get from, remember, the data I've shown you, the home treatments, 86% reduction, a vegetarian or Mediterranean lifestyle, 73% reduction. So the Adventist church with its lifestyle principles could actually be doing a tremendous work, because the data would show that those Adventist lifestyle principles give a better hospitalization reduction and death outcomes than the vaccines. I have also heard through the grapevine that doctors and nurses are being given instructions to misreport numbers to make this seem true. Have you found in your research to confirm confirmation that vaccines are indeed keeping people from being hospitalized in the U.S.? The data shows that, in fact, some people are having protection from the vaccines. There's no question that is true. But they're not the panacea, and we will never, ever beat this illness with vaccines.
Yeah,
anybody who claims that's lying.
I can testify to that.
Yeah.
My reaction was very mild after being vaccinated in March.
Okay.
Had a cold, plus my taste got it back. That's it. Hospitalization, no breathing problems, nothing else.
Okay.
So in my case, it worked.
Good. No, that was true. There's no question.
There are cases, and there's, I'm sure, there are lots of them.
There are lots of those. Regarding the misrepresentation of numbers, I don't know what's happening now. We do know that happened last year. Alameda County Health Department came out publicly and acknowledged that they overreported by 25% the number of cases. That happened last year. I don't know if that's still happening or not. I know that there's doctors that have gone on public record saying at their hospital they were told to report COVID cases because they would get higher reimbursement from the government if they did. They've gone on public record giving video testimony of saying that. That was last year. I haven't heard any of that happening this year. So I don't know. But yes. So anybody who suggests we will beat this worldwide with vaccines alone, either they're misinformed or they're lying. This is never going to be beaten with just vaccines. It's not going to happen. It's never going away. Understand that. This thing is not going to be like smallpox, that we vaccinate everybody, it just goes away. It's not going to happen. It keeps mutating. So no matter what vaccines we give, it's going to be around, and it's going to keep coming around. Okay? So anybody who suggests otherwise doesn't really understand the process of what's happening anymore. Since safe and effective treatment protocols for COVID are not widely... Oh, I just read that one. Thank you so much, Dr. Jennings, for your powerful Bible study. I'm always appreciative of your Bible studies. Every time, again, I have a question about the brain. I don't know if it's appropriate now. Recently, I found myself during prayer drifting. I would think of other unrelated things in the middle of my prayer of Thanksgiving, for example. I wonder whether you have tips to improve prayer focus. So everybody's mind wanders. This is not an uncommon thing. Time of day makes a difference. The more fatigued you are, the more your mind will wander. So late at night, before going to bed, it'll be harder to be focused. Morning prayer will help. Believe it or not, fasting actually helps your mind focused. If you try to pray right after a meal, especially a big meal, it'll be harder to focus your mind. And the other thing about the prayer, about focusing, if your mind wanders, you don't get upset, you don't get agitated, you simply say, that's okay. Lord, you know I'm human, I'm coming back to this now. And you come back. And sometimes speaking your prayers out loud and talking them out rather than doing them just in your head significantly keeps your prayers on focus if you speak them out loud. So that was another tip. All right, let's close with prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for your love, and we pray that you will enlighten our minds, take the victories of Christ, reproduce it in us. And at this time in history, we really do ask that you will give us greater discernment and wisdom and how to take the message forward in a way that breaks through the fear messaging that's happening in this world and can lift up you, the true source of our future hope. Because we know you're coming soon, we pray in your holy name. Amen.